everybody has an image of his own, what he thinks he is in the eyes of others. That is what we call ego. We very loosely use the word ego. We should harass the ego. We should find out what the ego is. The ego should not be there. That should be destroyed. And actually, what is that ego? Have you ever thought of it? Anybody? You say only I is the ego. Is it an answer? Just as simple, I is the ego. Then why don't you use I instead of ego? Normally, in our experience, what ego is, it's not the exact definition. But if we want to catch hold of some idea of what ego is, our ego is what we think we are in the eyes of others.
Why do you differentiate between what others think we are and what we think we are?
Because what we think usually depends upon that. In fact, not what others think. What we think, the others think of us. Others may think otherwise. We think that all the other people are thinking us great. And in fact, other people may not be thinking like that. And there comes the problem. If this image is anyhow disturbed, then anger springs.
Because anger also sometimes happens when there is nobody there at a sudden.
It won't come. It will recall to your memory an incident or something, or anticipate something which will affect this image, this ego. Even though that we are physically alone, we are in the company of such a memory or an anticipation of something, or the effect of something happened before. Because of some circumstances, we might have suppressed it. And then when we are alone, it comes as a recollection, as a memory of it, as a shade of it. And anger may come because of misunderstanding, not able to clearly understand something. And anger may come if we experience pain, that we are at loss of some comfort. Grossly, these are the three reasons for anger. If you think all the instances where that your anger, see either it is one of these three. The first is quite imaginary. It doesn't have any basis of its own. So if we start thinking in the realistic terms, that may be somewhat limited. The second, by having clarity, clear understanding. The third, by having love, a positive emotion, because that is real. If somebody beats you, that is reality, that is not an imagination or a myth. With regard to the second, which is connected to the first, I usually give an example of when you are traveling in a bus or a train, for instance. And when you are sitting, somebody steps on your toe. Then that gives you pain. Then you may say, hey, can't you see? Are you blind? What nonsense? Damn, shout at him. You become very angry. And then the person who is just next to him, he says that, I'm sorry, sir, that he is blind, he can't see. Then immediately the same anger becomes, oh, I am very, very sorry. Please excuse me without knowing that I shouted at you. Please come and sit, and then we give our seat also to him. Just to think of the instance. The pain is there. Why we are angry? Because he stepped on our toe. If that is the reason, then there is no reason that we should forego it. Because the pain remained. So it is not the pain that triggered anger in you, that is something else. You are playing with a child and she stands on your chest and then starts jumping. Oh, it gives pain. No doubt it gives pain. Oh, my sweet, come on, jump more, jump more. You say. If pain is the reason, you should be angry with the child also. Why you are not getting angered there?
Because there's love.
Because there is love. Now, first I told you the reasons and what are the antidotes to it. And I gave you some instances. Because when I said the third is with the love that you can antidote it, it was so abstract to you. How can with love that you can antidote something? How can love spring? This is how. So we usually think that we are angered by certain instance because that he has done it like that, that she has done it like that. This is meaningless. That is not the reason. There is something behind it. If you try to explore what it is, then at least you will reduce the instances of your anger. First, it shows that the image that you have on yourself of what the others think of you is false. You think that other people has to respect you and love you and reciprocate you in a certain manner, and it is not coming. It is not coming means what you are understand? It is not true. What we think is wrong. Why we should expect this from others and why we should get angry on them? Why this begging of affection, concern and love and all these things from others? And if they don't show it, we'll get angry. We beg for attention. We beg that the other people should go according to your wish. If we understand this, the mechanism behind anger, the anger ceases. Again it comes. Again if you understand it, it will go. And slowly it will vanish. The second reason, you don't have clarity. You don't have clear understanding. The third is you don't have the simple love which you always talk about. Love, 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 I should have love, love is divine and all these things.
Guruji, how to go about it when it flares up, I mean, also physically, in the body there is a strong reaction. In the moment, it's nearly too late when it happens now.
Any emotion is strong, it triggers a bodily reaction, that's all. That bodily reaction is not important. Just shedding tears is not crying. The suffering, the sorrow that you feel in your heart is the actual sorrow. Even if you cut onions also, you will get tears in your, in your eyes. So don't think of physical reactions. Many people react in different ways. Their body is more susceptible to the flush of the emotions. But I'm talking about the basic emotion itself.
Guruji, how to go about it next time? When this happens, how to catch it? Is it possible to catch it before somehow?
If you understand only one thing, you can be able to overcome it, for instance. If somebody comes and then they start telling you something about their own sorrows or this thing and that thing, their problems and all these things, and you get fed up and you just start getting anger. The same situation, for instance, you have some problems. and we want some solace. Take for instance me, you come and tell me. What we expect, I have to react to you with love, with concern, with understanding. Or if you go to Baba and pray, oh, I am like this, I am not able to do this, and please accept me. When we are trying to be accepted by somebody like that, why can't we accept somebody like that? If we don't accept it, we are not deserved for being accepted also. Just what is she expecting? Simply telling her the difficulties. What is that you lose simply by listening? Even though you may not be able to do something, if you can be able to do, okay, do it.
How to get ourselves into a state that we do not feel this anger, this pain, this hurt?
Only if the love is kindled in your heart by the Sadguru. Once you have the love in you, then you don't see the evil there. You see ignorance.
You see?
You sympathize with it, even with the aggression. What Jesus said? When he was on the cross, crucified, nailed to the cross, what he said? Father, they know not what they do. Forgive them. His tolerance came from that wisdom, that love. That is what I told you, what Baba's reactions to it. And Baba said, if that child pass urine on your hand, will you cut that child or cut your half? Because they do not know what they are doing. So they don't feel the aggression. If our children does anything, how do you look upon it? If that kind of attitude comes, means your heart should be filled with love. And how the love starts springing and filling up your heart? Only by that. Once you have it, then all the things follow. Jesus was not seeing evil at all.
And until we get to experience now, at this level, when anger does not arise, when there is no more hurt, how to deal with the anger that is already existing?
By understanding, concern, sympathizing with other people's condition. By that the anger won't stay.